This is Current Sports from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
From WKAR at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports with Al Martin.
Johnny Peralta lines one to right field for a base hit.
Miguel Cabrera, game-winning walk-off home run.
The champagne is flowing in the Tigers clubhouse.
I would have never, ever thought that I would have been in the Michigan Hall of Fame as a kid when I first picked up a basketball on 512 Gray Street in Flint, Michigan.
Thomas drives from the left side, goes up and banks it in. Jasmine Thomas.
Just the joy you get from watching it, like a JV wrestler. Getting his first match ever. That makes it worthwhile as a coach.
It's a fake. Bates is going to throw. Touchdown, Michigan State wins it in overtime.
What's up, good people? Welcome once again to the premier week of Current Sports with me, Al Martin. It's May 16th. Good afternoon. I hope you all are having a fantastic day, and I'm glad you are tuned in right now. To kick off today's show, we'll talk about the Wings falling to the Blackhawks last night, the Tigers struggling against the Astros, a Detroit Lions shows that his pockets are pretty, pretty nice, and so much more. It's also the final day of our television and sports series. Today, we'll talk with a man whose voice you hear during every Detroit Pistons game. He's also one of the greatest Spartan players of all time, basketball, that is. You don't want to miss this one, folks. We'll also have another special guest on this Thursday broadcast. We'll talk women in sports broadcasting. That's all coming up on Current Sports. Keep it locked right here. Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Welcome to episode 4. Man, the premiere week is almost finished. Can you believe that? I want to remind you all out there that you can join the hands-on discussion here at Current Sports not by just listening on your radio, but by following me on Twitter, Al Martin, WKAR. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/currentsports, or even email me at almartin@wkar.org during our caller portion of the show. Tweet or Facebook me a question if you don't feel like calling in. We know you're shy out there, guys. But hey, all right, let's dig into the show. We kick off part 3, the final part of our series about sports and television, talking with 3 men who have definitely made their mark in the TV sports world. Now, on Tuesday, you heard my sit down with Jeff Gintner, the general manager of Fox Sports South, and his thoughts on the new innovations that television is headed towards when it comes to the production side of things. Things like super slow-mo. I mean, it was really cool. Now, yesterday, we talked with Steve Smith, former Spartan basketball player and MSU's all-time leading scorer. He gave his insight on the challenges of becoming a broadcaster, along with a few tips to young aspiring journalists out there and how to separate themselves from the competition. Well, we have another very special guest on today's show. Greg Kelser, a graduate of Detroit Henry Ford High School back in 1975, the same high school my grandfather went to. Wow. And he was an outstanding basketball player, as many of you know. He was brought to Michigan State by former MSU coach Gus Kanakis. His smooth on-the-court skills earned him the nickname Special K. Yes, like the cereal. Greg will end up leading MSU, of course, along with Magic Johnson, to the 1979 NCAA Tournament Championship. And that same year, he was drafted by the Detroit Pistons for the upcoming 79-80 season, and he will play in the NBA for 6 years. Now, after his life on the court, Greg would enter into the world of sports broadcasting. Kelser has now been a Detroit Pistons color commentator for Fox Sports Detroit for a while, alongside George Blaha for years. And he also does some announcing with the Big Ten Network and even serves as a motivational speaker and author, which we'll get to. Greg, what's going on, my man? Welcome to Current Sports.
Thanks, Al. Thank you very much, and congratulations on the achievement and your first week.
Thank you so much, Greg. Really appreciate that, man. Now, as I said earlier, Greg, just a minute ago, I mean, you're a guy who I grew up hearing your voice. I'm a huge Detroit Pistons fan. I grew up hearing your voice on all of those Detroit Pistons broadcasts. And a special part of my childhood was listening to you and George go at it. I mean, when you hear that and to be a part of so many fans' lives by simply commentating a basketball game, I mean, how humbling is that for you?
Well, you know, everything is humbling. You know, the good and the bad that has occurred. And I must say, I've been very blessed. There's been a lot more good than bad, you know, for me. I take nothing for granted. But I work very hard, and you know, the things that my parents taught me many, many, many years ago, I still benefit from those lessons right now. So to answer your question specifically, not only am I humbled, I feel very honored, privileged, and blessed to be able to do what I have been doing for now 27 years as a broadcaster, and to be able to do it, especially in the state of Michigan, for the Big Ten Network, which gets me to my alma mater, Michigan State, from time to time.
Yeah.
And, of course, for the home team, Detroit Pistons. It's been just phenomenal.
Greg, when you started broadcasting, did you ever think that you would be in the game this long?
Well, I hoped I would. You know, you just never know. You know, I hoped that I would have played in the NBA for 15 years. When I first started in 1979 as a rookie, I thought for sure I'd play 10, 12 years. You know, around that time, that was about the standard length of an NBA career. I thought I could do that. You know, the game came naturally to me. I was very good at it. The one thing that I never, ever factored in was getting hurt.
Right.
And once that happened, you know, my ability and my attributes, the things that made me a number one draft pick, those became a little bit challenged and compromised. So my career was limited to 6 years. Now, I could have chosen to, you know, sit back and lament that and feel sorry for myself. Mm-hmm. And maybe even I did for a while. I don't know. But quickly, and again with the help of my parents and other people that have been very influential in my life, I was able to move on into something else. I never knew how long it would last, but I was hopeful, and I remain hopeful that it can continue to go on and on in a positive direction.
Without a doubt, I think that's such a great lesson. I mean, even though, you know, things happen in life, especially when it comes to athletics. I mean, injuries happen all the time, and your career can end just like that. But like you said, Greg, you had that correct mindset to say, this is not done yet. I got other things to do in life, and that, you know, my calling is somewhere else. That's great, man, for all the young guys, just people listening out there right now. Now, for the youngest that don't know about you as a player, I mean, how would you describe your style of play to them, Greg?
Well, I was a small forward who played at about 6'8", 210 to 15 pounds in the NBA. In college, I was about 195. But, you know, my greatest asset was my quickness and my ability to run the floor. You know, back in those days, we played fast break basketball, and getting up and down the floor and being able to sky and play above the rim was something that made me quite effective. Now, I was not a jump shooter per se, but I could hit a jump shot.
Right.
And I could score. I was a scorer more than a shooter. And something I always took great pride in was rebounding. I was a very, very good rebounder. I tried to play both ends of the floor. You know, I did not ignore the responsibilities on the defensive end. I feel that I was a very, very good basketball player, and every level that I played at healthy, I achieved, you know, the highest status that you could individually and in some cases team-wise, and I was hoping to be able to do that in the NBA. I felt like if I could have stayed healthy for 10, 12 years, that I could have been certainly a championship-winning NBA player.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe one that could possibly have threatened the Hall of Fame, maybe just come short of it. But, you know, certainly one that could have been a serious factor for a long time.
Definitely. Well, there's no doubt about it that you were definitely an incredible college basketball player. I mean, your name is hanging in the rafters of the Breslin Center here at Michigan State. Now, I mean, you also play, like you said, you were a recipient of many alley-oops from Magic Johnson, one of the greatest basketball players of all time. I mean, what was that like? And are you guys still pretty close today, Greg?
Yeah, Irvin and I are still close. I am still close with all of my teammates. I mean, when you achieve what we achieve together, when you reach that common collective goal of a championship, a national championship, that's a bond that's endless. It's forever, and we have that. I'm so happy anytime I get a chance to see my teammates, and I'm talking about, you know, even the guys that were whose responsibility on that team was as a manager, you know, to the 13th man, to any coach or equipment manager, anybody that was affiliated with that team. When I see them, you know, I get a real special feeling, nostalgia, if you want to call it, just incredible connection that occurs when I see, you know, the members of that great time in my life.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, mind you all, we were talking with Greg Kelsey today, former Spartan hoop great, and now color commentator for the Detroit Pistons on Fox Sports Detroit. Also does some work with the Big Ten Network. Now, Greg, what in the world made you want to get into the world of sports broadcasting?
Well, you know, I was in Michigan State a few weeks ago, and taking part in a sports journalism day-long festivity. And I was talking to some of the students, and I told them the story about how I met a gentleman who was working in the business. He not only became a friend of mine, but he became a mentor. And just hanging around him and watching him do his nightly sports anchoring duties for one of the local stations really grew my interest in working in broadcasting and working in sports broadcasting in particular. And I used that as a lengthy internship, just learning as much as I possibly could, and then deciding that this is what I wanted to do when my career ended. And he was very, very helpful, instrumental in helping make that happen. And, you know, the rest is history. It was a person that I had made a contact with who became a mentor and who I look back on now as a major factor in the enjoyment that I'm getting out of broadcasting right now.
Without a doubt. Now, you know, to remind the viewers out there, that event that Greg is talking about was the Spartan Sports Journalism Classic, where, you know, Michigan State and Dean Pan Witten here at the Communication Arts and Sciences Building brought it back. I mean, just tons of alumni that have really made their mark from MSU and beyond as far as sports broadcasting is concerned. Greg was one of those individuals really giving a lot of advice to aspiring journalists here at MSU that wanted to get into the field. Really a great event. Now, Greg, when you first started this thing, what would you say was the most difficult part for you?
Being patient and understanding that the things that I wanted to do, the places I wanted to go, and the opportunities I wanted to gain weren't going to come overnight. And just honing my craft and working hard to get better, which is something I still do today. I still feel like there's plenty of room for improvement, so I always seek to get better. But, you know, just staying with it and not letting the disappointment of some of the opportunities that I did not receive diminish my drive and passion and love for what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And just believing in myself and understanding and having faith that my time was going to come. That was probably the biggest thing, and I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges for any young person, especially coming out of college after you've spent that time doing all the right things, doing everything you were asked to do, getting your grades, sacrificing, doing what you're supposed to do over a lengthy period of time. You right. want it now, you know, you want it now.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't come right now, but you still have to believe and continue to work hard and drive and strive because eventually, you know, that work and that belief and dedication will pay off.
Such a great mission. I was one of those guys coming out of college. I mean, I would look at ESPN and say, man, I want that right now. But, you know, a lot of guys have to understand, I mean, success comes with hard work and patience. And that's something that I had to learn. That's a really, really good message, Greg. Now, you know, when you look at TV broadcasting and radio broadcasting and everything, you see a lot of athletes getting a lot of analyst jobs. And when I talk to people sometimes, just the regular average Joe on the street, a lot of them sometimes say, oh, that's unfair, you know, the former athletes. But have you ever been scrutinized because and kind of felt some of that backlash at all, that former athletes getting TV analyst jobs are kind of unfair? Have you ever, and how would you respond to that if you've heard it?
Well, you know what, I'm sure I have, not to my face, but I'm sure that I have. And I can even understand it to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would be a little demoralizing, I think, when you've put in your time and you've gone to school and you've studied for this and you've prepared yourself, and then someone who has no experience, background, mm-hmm. history in the field can step in and sit in the seat that you've been eyeing for years. That's not necessarily fair, but the one thing that I try to do, and the one thing, you know, that I did, I didn't sit in the seat until I was ready. I as I said, I served
right.
an internship. I dreamed about it. I worked. It was 4 years of work going into you know, gaining the first opportunity that I was able to achieve.
Yeah.
And now that I am there, the one thing that I definitely try to do and put a lot of pride in, again, is preparing and working extra hard to make sure that I am doing the very best job that I can do, and not taking it for granted that I'm there and that my name will keep me there. Yeah, and that's the one thing that I hope the athletes that are coming out now, take this thing seriously. Mm-hmm. This is not a thing to play with. You know, I'll tell you a little quick story. Mm-hmm. There was a young broadcaster who had come in, former athlete, a few years after I started, and I offered my help. And the one thing he said to me was, oh, man, this is just, you know, just basketball. I've been doing this all my life. And I was offended by that because I know it's more than just that.
Without a doubt.
It takes more than that to stick around, and it takes more than that to grow and develop and get better. And I just hope that, you know, even the young athletes who feel like, you know, after I'm done playing, I'll go right into the broadcast booth, you got to treat it with way more respect than that.
Without a doubt.
Be around long. Your name might open the door for you, but if you don't have the work ethic, you won't stay in there very long.
Well, that's something you definitely have, Greg. And, you know, I was at the Spartan Sports Journalism Classic, and something that really jumped out at me when you were talking was I know you were asked, I believe the Pistons had their final game of the season that you and George were broadcasting. They were playing the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Pistons, of course, had no shot of going to the playoffs. Really a tough season for them. And someone asked you, I believe, I mean, how are you going to broadcast this game? And you told them that you're going to broadcast this game like it's Game 7 of the NBA Finals. Talk about how that's the approach you got to have, even in situations like that.
Listen, when you sit down to do that game, you can't, in my opinion, you can't worry about the ramifications or the status of the game, because it's never two teams going nowhere. You don't know who's watching that game. You know, you owe it to the players playing that game to give it your every ounce of energy and put the same intensity into it and purpose that you would if it were the final game of the NBA Finals. I try to treat every game like that, whether it's a professional game or a girls' high school game. It doesn't matter. It does not matter, because that game is of ultimate importance to somebody.
Right.
So I owe it, you know. Steve Smith, I think he said it even better, the information he got, the advice he got from Jim Nance. You know, you pop in a tape 25, 30, 40 years from now, you want to be proud of it. And when those folks, you know, who are savoring that time and that opportunity and that game they're playing in, when they break it out 20, 30, 40 years from now, you want them to be proud of it, and you want that broadcast to reach the standard that it should, because it's essential. It's the way it should be. Everybody has to feel that way. The people playing, the
right.
people broadcasting, the people producing, everybody has to feel that way in order to deliver the very best product.
Exactly. You have to have that type of mindset no matter what the circumstances are. I totally agree with you, man. Now, for you, Greg, now you've been working with George Blaha for a long, long time. George is an unbelievable announcer. I mean, talk about the chemistry between you guys. And when you guys first started, was the chemistry always this good between you guys?
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I think there has to be respect. And when I joined George in the booth, he had many more years of experience over me.
Mm-hmm.
I respected that, and I tried to learn from him because of that. But he knew that I was serious about this, and he knew that I was going to put in the time and the work to get better, and he respected that. And we just eventually grew. We grew a chemistry, we grew a style, we grew a cadence, and all of those things to where now we just do it. And, you know, we can do it comfortably, and we can flow without stepping on each other. I think George has, a lot of times, knows what I'm thinking because we've been doing it so long.
Right.
He understands how I see the game and how I like to teach the game and how I like to help grow the experience for our listeners. I also know his style, and I know what he needs time-wise. You know, there's there's a give and take in the booth, and you know you don't want to be jumping on each other, you don't want to be cutting each other off, and
yeah.
Inevitably that is going to happen. But you try and minimize those occurrences, and I think that he and I have been able to do that because of our long tenure together. But it all started with respect, and it continues to grow and develop because of respect.
Definitely, without a doubt, man. Now, Greg, looking at another endeavor that's going on in your career. Now, you have a book entitled Gregory Kelser's Tales from Michigan State Basketball. Now, I was just doing a little bit of reading, and you know, you dive into a lot of aspects through your and talk about your career here at Michigan State University, and you even talk about that championship game back in 1979 against Larry Bird in Indiana, and how influential that was to basketball culture today. I mean, just talk about that book and why did you want to do it?
Well, you know what? It was a story that I really wanted to tell. I wanted folks to be able to have insight, first of all, into becoming a champion and how it just didn't happen. You know, those last 2 years at Michigan State for me were great, but I can appreciate them especially because I was there the first 2 years before the championship. You know, I was there as a freshman when, you know, if we could get 5,000-6,000 people in Jenison Fieldhouse, that was a good night.
Right.
And the only time we sold out was when Michigan came in town, or maybe Indiana.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, we get Irvin Johnson and we get Jay Vinson, and now we're, you know, a team with a championship profile, and all, you can't get in the place. You know, they got to, you know, sell tickets by lottery.
Yeah.
So, you know, the luck of
packed.
The draw. And every night was a sellout, and it was incredible, that transformation. I was able to really, really enjoy it and appreciate it because I had seen, I had seen the process. I had truly lived the process of taking it one rung on the ladder at a time, and you know, the ups and downs of it all. And even in the championship year, that was no cakewalk. You know, we had
right.
a great basketball team, you know, with one of the best players in the history of the game, and Irvin Magic Johnson. And one more loss, you know, with 16 games to go in the regular season, one more loss, and we were done.
Wow.
It wouldn't have
on
been
the
a
brink.
Championship.
Yeah.
You know, so we have, you know, we're forced to go and reel off 10 straight wins to even, you know, get in a position to make it to the tournament. You know, and just to let you know how tough it was to get into the tournament back in those days, that was a three-way tie for first place. Well, one of those three teams went to the NIT.
Wow, yeah,
so,
yeah.
So, you know, you really, really, so that was, so, you know, the book speaks to about, you know, about being resilient, being a, you know, being able to get back up and keep fighting when the odds really look like they're against you. I talk in the book about the thrill and enjoy playing with a guy like Irvin Magic Johnson, playing for a coach like Judd Heathcote. I also talk about Gus Kanakis in the book because he's the one who gave me my chance.
Exactly.
Had
yep.
not been for him, I wouldn't have been at Michigan State. You know, I would have been someplace else, and who knows, you know, what would have happened. And then, you know, it goes on to talk about the lessons learned through all of this. You know, that's the thing that I'm benefiting from mostly today, is the lessons that I learned on the way to becoming a champion. You know, how you have to be, you know, accountable as a part of a team to more than just yourself. You know, it's not all about you. And we had some guys on that team that were tremendous basketball players who were called on to sacrifice their own abilities for the good of the team.
Yeah.
And I understood that. I wasn't one of those guys. But I was one of those guys when I became a pro.
I
just harkened back to those things that I saw at Michigan State, which helped me deal with that when I was asked to do a little sacrificing and not, you know, maybe not get as much playing time as I thought I should have had, or maybe not take as many shots as I thought I should. You know, it's what you have to do when you're a part of a team.
Without a doubt. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Greg Kelser, Fox Sports Detroit Pistons commentator, also Big Ten Network announcer, and you know he has his new book, Greg Kelser's Tales from Michigan State Basketball.
Well, it's not exactly new, Al, but it has been updated to include certain things. You know, like
right.
you know, when I wrote that book, I was still Michigan State's number one leading rebounder, all time leading rebounder, not the greatest rebounder.
Oh.
We all know that's Johnny Green.
Yeah, exactly.
Johnny Green, and if Johnny Green had played 4 years like I did, that rebounding record would be so far out of reach for everybody. But, you know, but I'm not that anymore. It's Draymond Green. So it's updated to reflect that, you know. And it's, you know, I was proud to see him, not happy to see him break the record, but I was proud of him because I know what went into that achievement. You know, let's be honest, no one wants their record.
No one wants their record broken. No,
but when it happens, You shake the person's hand, and you say congratulations. When Scott Skiles broke my scoring record, I did the exact same thing. I congratulated him, and on his stellar achievement.
Change is inevitable, Greg. You know, it's bound to happen. But
it is. No question.
Without a doubt. So how can people get this book, Greg?
Well, you can go to my website, which is GregoryKelser.com. Gregory is one word, GregoryKelser.com, and go down to the book link and click on it, and you can have an autographed, personalized copy within a week. It's a fascinating story, I think. I enjoyed writing it, a lot of my teammates who have read it, they call me, they chuckle because they're like, man, I had forgotten that stuff. How do you even remember all that? But you know what? It's a special time. It was a very special time in my life. So it's marked indelibly in my mind.
Right. But hey, Greg, I want to say thank you so much for coming on the show. Really a pleasure to have you. There you have it. Greg Kelser, Spartan hoop great and TV analyst for the Detroit Pistons, motivational speaker. This man does it all. Greg, thank you so much for being on Current Sports.
Hey, Al, thank you very much for having me, and all the best, and anytime you need me, just let me know.
Without a doubt. There you have it. Greg Kelser, ladies and gentlemen. Well, when we return to Current Sports, we will dive into our Current Sports section of the show. And I want to remind you all that we'll be taking your calls at 1:40. Don't hesitate to pick up that phone. Dial 517-355-9527 again. 517-355-9527. Let us hear your thoughts on any of today's topics. That's at 1:40, people. Stay tuned. More Current Sports is next.
After the bombs at the Boston Marathon last month, corporate donors and the public wondered how they could help. Governor Deval Patrick and Mayor Tom Menino established the One Fund for Boston and named Kenneth Feinberg to oversee disbursement of the donations, more than $30 million so far. I'm Neil Cohn, and Ken Feinberg joins us on Who Gets What? Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
That's Talk of the Nation coming up at 2 p.m.
I'm WKAR's Mark Bayshore. 7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat. From government to the arts, sports to education, from business to travel, it's all got a home. It's Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 FM and at noon on AM 870 WKAR.
An opening now for Bruner. Moves and shoots one. That's blocked down. Follows through. He scores! Bruner drove to the net, got an initial shot and a rebound shot, and it is a tie game.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, and what you just heard was the Red Wings' only goal scored last night by Bruner. Really a tough one for them. All right, let's dig right into it. The Chicago Blackhawks take a one-game lead over the Red Wings, beating them 4-1 last night. The Blackhawks simply dominant. Now, it didn't look like that way in the first period. I mean, these teams are going back and forth. It ended in a 1-1 tie. But then that second and third period was just, nasty. Yeah, it was nasty, man. Corey Crawford made 20 saves for the Blackhawks. Marian Hossa had the opening goal in the first, and Patrick Sharp finished with an empty netter and two assists to give him, get this, 9 points in the postseason. I mean, Sharp has really been pretty sharp. He's been fantastic. If you want to look at one shining light for the Red Wings, Jimmy Howard, I really think he's been fantastic. Last night, the man had 38 stops. 38 stops, folks. And the Red Wings still lose 4-1 last night. Jimmy Howard, he did his part, but you can't stop everything. And he had a lot of things coming at him. Just Blackhawks really aggressive on a lot of ends in this game. Let's take a look at the stats. The Blackhawks,
They had 42 shots compared to the Wings 21. I mean, that's more than double. I mean, it's unbelievable. That's actually double than what the Wings had. The Wings had 6 giveaways. Blackhawks only 2. Blackhawks had 11 takeaways. The Red Wings with only 4. I mean, when you talk about the Chicago Blackhawks, who have been unbelievable, just really unbelievable this entire season, they're usually the aggressor in all of their matchups. A team with the Red Wings, I've always harped on this. I'm going to go back to it. The Red Wings really come out of games just really with not a lot of energy. Now, that wasn't the case last night, though. The Red Wings seemed to be ready and pumped for this one. Like I said, it was 1-1 at the end of that first period. But the Blackhawks really just giving it to them. They had 17 shots on goal in comparison to only 5 for the Red Wings in the second period. Then in that third period, the Blackhawks had 19 shots on goal. The Wings had 9. This is what the Blackhawks do. They are the aggressor in these playoffs and throughout this entire season. That's why they had that incredible streak. If you look at the beginning of the season. So the Wings will try to rebound from this one. They lose now to Chicago for the 8th straight time, dating back to last season. And they got to recognize, man, this isn't Anaheim anymore. You're playing the creme de la creme of hockey, arguably, in the Chicago Blackhawks. Really a really, really good team. Game 2 will be on Saturday afternoon at the United Center. So just to sum all that up, Blackhawks really the aggressor. Too many shots on goal. I mean, if you look at the quotes from the Red Wings, especially Jimmy Howard, I mean, it seemed like every time the Wings tried to get out of their zone, the Blackhawks were coming right back at them. You can't play that way, guys. We'll see how they rebound off that. And all right, let's move on. The Tigers lose the last game of the series to the Houston Astros 7-5 last night. Now, that's really surprising because, as you all know, Houston is arguably the worst team in the game of baseball today. Miguel Cabrera actually had a chance to win the game. Yeah, bases loaded down to the final out. He ended up hitting a fly ball to right center field for the out. That just diminished the hopes of all Tigers fans out there. And Phil Colt was the man on the mound that allowed the Astros to take the lead in the 9th inning. Now, on a positive note for the Tigers, Avisiel Garcia hit his first ever big league home run in the second, a 3-run shot to left center, and gave the Tigers a 4-1 lead.
That's my first home in the big league. I was waiting for that, you know. I'm always trying to hit one, and I get it today. Thank God for that.
Yeah, congrats to Avisiel. I always struggle saying that. It's a pretty cool name, but Avisiel Garcia, his first ever big league home run. Congrats to him. Now, Detroit has now just a half game lead over the Cleveland Indians in the AL Central. The Indians destroyed the Phillies last night 10-4. So it'll be interesting to see how things play out in that. Detroit now starts a series with the Texas Rangers on the road. Detroit will send ace Justin Verlander on the mound at Texas. It'll be a nice pitching matchup against Yu Darvish of the Rangers. So really looking forward to that one. Last night, Max Scherzer started for the Tigers. Scherzer allowed 5 runs, 5 hits, and 7 innings. He struck out 7 and walked 3. So we'll see how the Tigers rebound. This is really interesting now because you have this battle between the Cleveland Indians and the Tigers now for that type spot. You can never sleep on the Indians. They've been playing great baseball. All right, just to remind you guys, we kind of rushed through it yesterday. Just want to give you a rundown of the Capital Diamond Classic tournament that will be taking place, kicking off on Monday, May 20th. Just if you're out there, you want to attend the games. I know this is a very, very big event. You know, even dating back to when I was an intern at Channel 6 and on, you know, the Capital Diamond Classic is something I look forward to every year. I mean, you got high school players going at it in this. Grand Ledge, a team that's historically dominated it year after year after year. Pat O'Keefe does a great job with that program. So, hey, if you got a pen and a paper, or just listening, if you're driving, just kind of take note of this right now. Monday, May 20th, this will be at Kircher Municipal Park. The first game is at 5:30. Okemos, who is 13-5, will face Hazlitt, 15-4, at 5:30 p.m. That's, again, at Kircher Municipal Park. And that second game of that day will be at 7:30. East Lansing, who went 17-11 on the season, will face Charlotte, who went 12-4. That's at 7:30.
If you move on to Wednesday, that will be day two of the Diamond Classic, Wednesday, May 22nd, also at Kircher Municipal Park. DeWitt will play Portland. DeWitt 21-1, Portland 12-9 on the season. That's at 5:30 p.m. That second game will be Holt versus Bath. Holt is 12-9. Bath 20-2. That's at 7:30, all at Kircher Municipal Park. Now, Friday is when, you know, we move on to the next round. Grand Ledge and Lansing Catholic both had fantastic seasons. They both get byes. So, at this will be at Cooley Law School Stadium now, where the Luggies play, home of the Luggies. Grand Ledge, 19-1, will face the winner of Okemister Hazlitt at 5:30 on Friday, May 24th. That same day, Lansing Catholic, who finished the season 22-2, will face Holt or Bath at 7:30. Monday, June 3rd, that will be the semifinals, 5:30 and 7:30 at Cooley Law School. And Tuesday, June 4th, that will be the final at 7 p.m. So look forward to that. Hope you took notes down. Let's move on. Jay Harris. Yeah, you guys know him, right? Can we get a clip of Jay Harris, or should I call him Jay Dat Bull?
How did they find out about it, Jay?
Probably everyone in the world saw my videos, so I mean, probably that. But I knew they wouldn't like it. It wasn't me, like, being rebellious, just dropping a video. But, like, obviously, I mean, see what I'm throwing in the video. They're not going to like it, and I expected that. But I never talked to them about the video itself. I just talked to them the other day, like I said, so.
Right. And if they follow you on Twitter, they might have seen the picture of you smoking the weed.
Yeah, they probably did. But like I said, I didn't talk to them about anything other than the other day. That's the last time I talked to them, and that's the last time I was talking to them.
Yeah, and now, I mean, you might have taken the right course here, especially if you like to smoke weed, because now, as I understand it, rappers can you smoke weed, right?
Yeah. Keep it a bean, like.
Now.
That's not why I want to do music, to smoke weed. So I love music. I've been rapping before I started smoking weed. Like,
no, right. No, but.
And if you want to keep it a bean, every Division I athlete, you can go to any school across the nation. And when they take you out on your officials, they take you out anywhere. That's what you do. You get drunk and smoke weed, to be honest.
Right.
To be honest, so at the Division I level, they're still up there doing the same thing I'm doing.
Oh man, you got to be kidding me, man. That was an interview done by Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 in Houston. That is, just to recap, you guys, Jay Harris. Jay Harris was a 2013 Michigan State recruit, wide receiver. He decided to choose a rap career instead of football. Now, Philly.com later changed that story, citing an unnamed source who said MSU coach Mark D'Antonio had stripped Harris of his scholarship after Harris posted profanity-laden rap videos on YouTube. Really, this is really a funny story, man, when you look at this. Jay Harris, like I said, in that interview yesterday, he knew, apparently, according to him, that, you know, eventually Mark D'Antonio would see this on the video. Like I said, his rap name is Jay Dat Bull. His first single, this is the video called Dat Bull for Life, D-A-T-B-U-L-L for Life. And in the video, I mean, Harris is just he's smoking what he came out and said today. He's smoking, quote, weed. That's what he's doing right now on the video. Come on, man. Are you serious? You don't post stuff like that. Come on, brother. Jay, if you're listening, you're probably not listening right now. But Jay, you can't. That's just stupidity when you look at it, man. I mean, he just blows a possible spot of playing wide receiver for Michigan State to pursue his rap career. Now, I'm not knocking this, though. I'm not the type of guy to down individuals' dreams. Now, if you never know. I said yesterday, he might be the next Kanye West. I highly doubt it, but he might be the next rap superstar. You never know. But when you look at this, Jay said that, hey, quote, I don't want to, well, this is not a direct quote, but he basically said at the end of the interview that he's not afraid to pursue his dreams, and that playing football at Michigan State was, you know, in his eye, of course, but he had more of a passion for rapping, so he wants to pursue it and see where it gets him. I'm not knocking that. Brother, do your thing. By all means, I wish you the best. But at the same time, the aspect of smoking weed and the cussing, I mean, I know that's what sometimes hip-hop is about, At the same time, don't put it out there to the public where, I mean, that really diminishes chances of possibly playing for MSU. So, really an interesting story. Definitely had to play that for you guys. All right, let's move on. Calvin Johnson, if you guys haven't heard, Sports Illustrated released his annual Fortunate 50 list. Now, this list lists down the top 50 highest-paid athletes for the year. And guess what? Number 29 was Calvin Johnson, wide receiver for the Detroit Lions. He has projected earnings of $22.6 million for 2013. That includes $850,000 in endorsements. Johnson didn't make the list last year. Wow, that's a lot of money, man. Oh, I would buy my mama a house, my grandmama a house, my uncle's a house. I would buy my dog a house. I mean, that's a lot of moolah, man. Looking at the list, boxer Floyd Mayweather, he tops the list for the second consecutive year with projected earnings of $90 million this year. That is if he fights again in September, that is, which it looks like he may if he chooses the Alvarez deal. Now, other notables on the list for Detroit is concerned. Detroit Tigers stars such as Prince Fielder, Miguel Cabrera, and Justin Verlander also made the cut. And you look at, you know, guys like Peyton Manning, who's number 8, Vincent Jackson, number 15. Really cool to check out the list. Just go to the Sports Illustrated website. They have it up there. Tiger Woods was 5. Number 2 was LeBron James. 3, Drew Brees. Really cool. So it's good to see Calvin Johnson. I guess, you know, dollar bill, y'all. He's making it rain. So, all right, we move on. Brittany Griner and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's right, guys. Brittany Griner. Really, as you all know, a phenom when it comes to women's basketball. She was a star at Baylor. Got drafted the number one overall draft pick to the Phoenix Mercury. And yesterday, the top player in this year's WNBA draft was visited by one of the greatest basketball players of all time, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's right, Jabbar visited the practice of the Phoenix Mercury yesterday. And afterwards, he took some questions from the team and worked with the 6'8" phenom Griner.
She's a very talented athlete. You know, she's not just tall. You know, she has some skills. She runs the court very well. She's agile. I think she's going to have a great career.
And afterwards, Griner was really kind of starstruck by the whole experience.
Man, I went to legend school today, and it was awesome. I mean, just giving me, you know, the little technical parts of, you know, the skyhook and for me to work on it. And hopefully, I am not going to say master. I mean, he's a master of that. But he's a young apprentice, maybe. Have that in my arsenal. That would open up my game a lot.
Wow, that's pretty cool stuff. And they said during the report, Griner learned the skyhook from the man himself, arguably the most dominant move, unstoppable move in all of basketball. I kill individuals with it all the time when I'm out in the court. Challenge me if you want, Al Jordan. But yeah, he showed her the sky hook. Pretty cool stuff. All right, action in the NBA playoffs last night. The Chicago Bulls fall to the Miami Heat, 94-91. The Heat now advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. Dwayne Wade, even through his whole right knee problems, was not 100%. He showed a heroic effort last night, a great effort from him. He scored 18 points, hoping the team stormed back from an 11-point deficit to beat Chicago. And also game two, the Memphis Grizzlies beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 88-84 last night. The Thunder were eliminated, and the Grizzlies go to the Western Conference Finals. Forget this, the first time in franchise history. And their star, OKC star Kevin Durant, really a bad night for him. He shot 5 for 21. Are you kidding me, man? I think my grandma could shoot better than that. That's crazy. 5 for 21. All right. The third worst shooting performance of his playoff career. He also missed a potential game-tying jumper with 6 minutes left. And also other news in the NBA. The NBA owners voted Wednesday to reject the Sacramento Kings proposal to move to Seattle. So, hey, any Sacramento King fans out there, the Kings will stay in Sacramento. All right, guys. Man, truly unbelievable day in sports last night. All right, we will move on to our last segment of current sports, and today we're going to mix things up a little bit. That's right. We're going to take your calls about any of the topics we've discussed today. 517-355-9527. Again,
517-355-9527. But we'll also have a very special guest coming in to talk about the presence of women in sports broadcasting. She's making an impressive impact in the Lansing community. And get this, she's still in college. Yes, stay tuned. More Current Sports is next.
On the next Fresh Air, why retirement security has for many people become retirement insecurity. We talk with Robert Hilton Smith about the hidden fees that come with 401ks and why young people are likely to retire with less than baby boomers. Hilton Smith is a policy analyst with the public policy organization Demos. Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock.
Every weekday afternoon at 4, All Things Considered keeps you up to date on current events nationally and around the world. I inform you on what's happening at the state and local levels. Hi, I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered. Join me as we stay on top of the things that matter to you on All Things Considered, weekdays from 4 until 6 on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, it's now that time of the show. We want to hear from you. That's right. Give us a call at 517-355-9527. We want to hear your thoughts on any of today's topics or issues or just anything on your mind. Tweet me, Facebook us. We'll take it all. All right, but folks, before we get into your calls, we have a young woman who is making quite a buzz in the world of sports broadcasting here in Lansing. Michigan State sophomore Jennifer Schwanchera. She's unbelievable. The new public address announcer at Cooley Law School Stadium for the Lansing Lugnuts. A native of Berkeley, Michigan, Jennifer is currently majoring in broadcast journalism here at MSU. She brings a wealth of broadcast experience, handling volleyball, women's basketball, a color analyst for Big Ten Network Student U Productions, interning at WILX TV 10. She's doing it all and serving as a DJ on Impact 88.9 FM. Why it took a lot to say that. Ooh, she does a lot. All right. She is only one of three female PA announcers in all of the 190 minor and major league baseball teams. Wow. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Al. It's an honor to be here.
Unbelievable. I mean, oh, I just lost my breath saying all that stuff. I mean, you're doing a lot, man.
It is a lot. And I never realize it until my friends kind of say to me, hey, I haven't seen you in a week, two weeks, a month, forever.
You just go ghost, I bet.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so, Jennifer, I got to ask you, where did your love for sports begin?
I've always loved the atmosphere that sports bring and going to, I'd say probably my high school, Berkeley High School. I went to, you know, all the football games, all the basketball games. Always one of the people in the front row cheering on our team.
Right.
Always loved watching sports. I was actually never really an athlete myself, which is kind of interesting.
Really? Yeah, you see that transition from athletes to want to go into broadcast. You see that transition there, but not for you, huh?
No, actually, I was a dancer my whole life, 15 years of dance, and right. I just have a love for the sports.
Right.
All sports. I enjoy the competition aspect and, you know, the entertainment value that it brings.
Gotcha. So when did it click for you to say, hey, you know, were you watching TV one day and said, I want to try that. I want to do that.
It was actually probably my freshman year here at MSU that I was looking into doing something on air. But I didn't really want to do the news and that kind of...
The boring stuff, yeah.
Exactly. So I was like, gosh, you know what? Sports would be pretty cool. So I kind of dove into that. Got involved with the Association for Women in Sports Media with L.A. Dickerson.
Yeah, I love L.A.
Who doesn't? She's an angel.
She's great.
She's an angel. But so I did that and then got the hookup with Big Ten Network with Rick Church.
Yeah,
and
I used to work for him, yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, from there on, it just kind of built and here I am today.
Gotcha. Jennifer, congrats on all your success so far. And you're still in college. That's what baffles me. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Jennifer Swanchera. She's the new public address announcer at Cooley Law School Stadium for the Lansing Lugnuts. Now, Jennifer, I mean, obviously, you're off to a great start. And looking at all the success you've had thus far, and you're still in college, now, this is a little touchy because there's competition out there, of course. But yes. If you could give anyone some advice to help them along, what advice would you give them?
I'd say take whatever you're given and never, you know, back down from opportunity. I never thought that I would get this position at the Lugnuts. You know, it was just not I didn't think it was going to happen. Right. And I went for it anyways and put everything I could into the, you know, interview process and got past the first, you know, interview and then the second one. And then here I am today as their PA announcer. And it's just kind of like follow the footsteps that, you know, you're given.
Definitely, definitely. Now, Jennifer, I mean, in such a male-dominated profession, when you talk about sports broadcasting and sports in general, I mean, how do you overcome that challenge of being a female in this business and being successful at it?
The first thing I'd say is confidence. I find that without confidence, you're not going to get anywhere in it because putting out your best foot and saying, I know this, proving that you know it, and standing tall and not doubting yourself. Never doubt yourself. There's been days when I'm like, how am I doing this? Right. I don't know. I had to learn volleyball for Big Ten Network, being the analyst. I did not know the sport at all. Right. And, you know, I was given that and I went with it and learned it, and there I was, and I did it to the best of my ability with confidence, and it all worked out.
Gotcha. Now, Jennifer, when you look at this, I mean, when I go back to that and you see all the males, you know, just it's a really a male-dominated profession. At all, at any means, did you look at it and say, did it become discouraging for you at all?
No, actually, I almost enjoy that fact because sometimes, you know, women can get a little catty and whatnot. Let's be honest.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, I gave a speech on that. Oh, yeah. We won't get into that, but go ahead.
But it's enjoyable. And I feel that sports is more laid back, and the people that I work with are so enjoyable to work with. In every field that I've worked in so far, whether it was at WILX, with the Big Ten Network, at, you know, the Cooley Law School Stadium, it's all been a great time. And, you know, and there are still women in it, though.
Yeah.
And those women, you know, you connect with them as well. But you also get the friendships with the males that, you know, it's just kind of like, it's not.
Just one of them, yeah.
Right, you're just one of the guys.
Exactly, exactly.
So it works.
Definitely, definitely. Well, now, for you, when you look at women in broadcasting, where do you see, is it on the right path, in your eyes, is it on the right path of where it should be, and where do you hope it will eventually become if it's not in your eyes?
I think that it's getting there. I think that still it's definitely based on, especially on air, you know, on TV, it's all based on good looks. And
mm-hmm.
I'm always seeing, you know, the blonde Sports Center.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Aaron Andrews.
Every single time it's a blonde. Every single time I turn on Sports Center. But it's, you know, I wish that it wasn't that case.
Yeah.
You can't really deny it. But I think that's heading in the right direction. I think that women are starting to branch out in fields. Like, I think that PA should start getting more recognized with women, and play-by-play. I think those are the two fields that still need women to enter.
Exactly. Now, Jennifer, you talk about the pretty face. Now, that's another aspect. I mean, how do you begin to change that culture? I mean, because I've talked to producers, I've talked to directors that say, hey, we're just kind of looking for a pretty face, just to, you know, some eye candy, blah, blah, blah. And that's the reality of how television sports is in many regards today. What steps do you think should be made right now in order to change that in the future?
The thing is that you can't change someone that is good looking. You know, they're gonna be good looking no matter what. You're not gonna downgrade them. So, but for those people that are trying to get in, have the knowledge that is necessary to be there and prove yourself. You don't need to prove it with your looks. Prove it with your knowledge and the experience that you already have. Show them that you are the right person for that job, not because you look the part, but because you act the part.
Exactly. Very, very true. Now,
for you, Jennifer, all that you've done and really just starting off, you're still in college. I always say that. You're really doing it big. You're just starting off in college. For you, when you first started this, because you just started this in college, what was the biggest challenge for you?
Actually, I mean, I didn't really dive into anything until probably early this year, my sophomore year. And I'd say just realizing, you know, trying to juggle everything, trying to do academically well, which thankfully I somehow have been, and, you know, and still being able to put forth all my all into everything that I'm doing. You know, with Big Ten, I had to do a lot of research for analyzing women's basketball and volleyball. For Channel 10, I put in a lot of hours. Right. It was kind of just balancing my time, knowing when to do what took priority, and just, you know, figuring out what to do when.
Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Jennifer Swancher. She's the new public address announcer at Cooley Law School Stadium for the Lansing Lugnuts. Now, for you, Jennifer, what's the long-term goal? Where do you see yourself in 5-10 years?
I'm asking myself, that's the golden question. I would love to be anywhere in broadcast sports, whether it's I enjoy radio, I enjoy TV, I'm enjoying PA. It's a lot of fun and not as much work as, you know, the analyzing that I've done and all that. So it's a lot of fun. Right. So wherever I can get an opportunity and, you know, build my repertoire, I'll do whatever I can.
Gotcha. Now, all you out there, if you got any questions for Jennifer, definitely call in right now. For the last 5 minutes of the show, I believe we have a call from Alex. Alex, what's up, man?
Al, man, as always, you're doing a great job. Just want to say I love the show, man.
Thank you. Thank you, man. Really appreciate the support, bro. What's on your mind?
I was listening in your conversation with Greg Kelser and you earlier. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. Hearing you guys go back and forth, and he brought up a point. He said when he started announcing with George Blaha, it was, you know, George had that respect for him because he knew he was working real hard. And that's something that I noticed when he brought that up is, you know, working as a play-by-play guy, I did play-by-play with you. And when I did it with you, you know, you worked so hard, man. You worked so hard, and it was just instant respect for it, you know. But, you know, I noticed this year sometimes I would announce with some people who just didn't have the work ethic like you did, and that's unfair to say because not many people do have that work ethic, but it's it's incredible because, like, it makes it much easier when you are working along someone who wants it, when they have that passion, and that was just interesting to hear that with you and Greg Kelser. And also, I wanted to bring up the Blackhawks, man.
yeah
oh, you already know I love my Chicago sports.
I know, yes, you do, Alex.
Man, in the NHL, I think it's so unpredictable every year. Like last year, we saw the 8-seeded Kings win it all.
Yep.
But this year, man, I think not many teams have a chance to beat the Blackhawks. I think it's going to be a 1-seeded Stanley Cup with the Penguins and the Blackhawks. I just think those two are the most dominant. And, I mean, I think that this one could be over in 4 games.
I was about
the Blackhawks
to,
and the Red Wings, man.
I was just about to say that, man. First of all, Alex, I want to appreciate, man. Now, a lot of people don't know, me and Alex used to work together. Like Jennifer, she works for the Big Ten Student U Productions. I like I said, I just graduated in May. Alex and I, he was my first partner, I guess you could say, in the world of broadcasting. I was the color analyst for the MSU baseball team, and like I said, man, that was my first time being on the mic, and we like I said, you got to put in the hard work. Like Jennifer, I mean, she talked about knowing nothing about volleyball and putting in that work and really studying hard to really, you know, put in that work to so you can hone your craft. And that's so important, man. And that's something you have to value. So all you out there listening, I mean, if you want to pursue this, you got to put in the work. But thanks so much, Alex, for the call. And I don't want to say this, but I have to. But I do think the Red Wings, I'm going to say it. They're going to get swept. I'm going to say it right here, 1:58 p.m. The Red Wings will get swept by the Blackhawks. That, maybe this will get you guys to call in right now. Call in and dispute with that. What do you think, Jennifer? You a big hockey girl?
Yeah, it's that game last night was kind of sad to watch, and I think that it'll be a 4-game sad.
Yeah, sad.
Sad day for the Red Wings.
Yeah, it's really tough, and the Blackhawks are just so loaded. But thank you so much, Jennifer. Any final thoughts you want to give out there?
Just to all the women out there, don't be disregarded. You know, you got what it takes, and go forth. And also, you know, the Lugnuts were playing all 7-day homestand. And we have this weekend Laugh Q fireworks tonight, or no, sorry, tomorrow, Friday,
tomorrow, right.
And Saturday at 7. And then Sunday we have the Kids Day at 2:05 p.m.
Yes, the Lugnuts will be in action against Great Lakes. All right, guys, thank you all for tuning in. Before we leave, special thanks to everyone who contributed to today's show. Alex Shard, Matt Lefke, our production assistants, along with my engineer, Aaron Young, Peter Wharf, our station manager here at WKAR, Greg Kelser, Jennifer Swanchera for coming in as today's guest. I mean, tomorrow we'll dive in to part one. Also, my intern, they're waving at my intern. Of course, my intern here, Matt Corey, unbelievable. Tomorrow we dive into part one of our boxing series. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Al Martin, WKAR 870, AM 870, East Lansing. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
From NPR News in Washington.
This is Current Sports from AM 870 WKAR.